it's with tremendous trepidation to come and try to be maspid my Rebbe, Reb Moshe. And as a little bit of Hagadama, I'd just like to explain to you what I heard from him, what's the concept of a hesped. And maybe that we can understand why perhaps this is something that's that I think is very very important and very relevant that we say a hesped. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "Hamisatzel vespedo shel chacham eino marech yamin." The Gemara says if somebody's misatzel, if he's lazy, he doesn't properly do a hesped for a chacham eino marech yamin. He doesn't have a riches yamin. And so I heard from my Rebbe, B'shem the Maral, what's the pshat? There's always a mida keneged mida. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, it's always measure for measure. It's always fits one to the other. And he explains, because the idea of a hesped is when a person leaves this world, so he leaves this world, he's no longer here. But as much as he remains with us, as much as we take from him, so then his chiyus, part of him is still here. If you're misatzel in his hesped, if you don't properly give a hesped, so that means that you don't really appreciate the hizchias that's still here. And he's not really impacting you. And if he's not really impacting you, then in a certain sense, you're shortening his days. Because he still has a relevance. He's still here. He's still living with us. And if we don't recognize that, so then the mida, keneged mida, is mekatshem yomov of the person that's masvid. It's the only reason that I feel that bechlal, I have any zchus or anything to say some kind of hesped is to try to take what I gained, what I got from my Rebbe, and try to make that relevant to us. Try to make that something that I know it's something that I have to say that probably he was the number one influence on my life and changed my life completely. And probably everything that I've done over the last 36 years since I started hearing him, one way or another, was influenced by him. So if that's the case, then I'm hoping that Mirtz Hashem was something that we could learn, that we can take, and we can learn from him and make him relevant to us and to our lives. So back 36 years ago, I was a young, impressionable yeshiva bacher, learning in then a relatively small yeshiva called Yeshiva Samir. Only 800 people were in the yeshiva at the time. It was very small. And, I was probably more or less doing what Yeshiva Bachrim do, more or less what you guys, well, maybe not what you guys do, but more or less what young Yeshiva Bachrim do. And I heard that in the Beis Medrash across the street, in Or Sameach, that they have this rabbi, he speaks, is phenomenal, and he was invited in, this young, dynamic rabbi who is speaking to the Israeli Balei Tshuva in Or Sameach. And his name was Reb Moshe Shapiro. So I went to hear a shiur, and I was literally blown away by the shiur. Now, first of all, let me just explain to you this shiur. More and more, the Mir Bakram started hearing about this shiur. So he had a shiur that was designed for Balei Tshuva, Israeli Balei Tshuva. You can't get anybody that's more anti-religious than an Israeli Balei Tshuva. They all came in with their earrings and with their cuckoos. The cuckoo is a ponytail. And they would sit there. And then you had the Chashuvei Yeshivas Mir. People like Tzvi Cheshin. I don't know if you people are aware of him. He's still around today. He's somebody who knows every single shir of Reb Nachum and Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz literally on his fingertips. And he knew it 35 years ago as well. And he was sitting there in the shir. And everybody got something out of the shir. Everybody got something out of the shir. So what was it that made such an impact? So I want to read you something. It's very fascinating. Reb Moshe himself wrote very, very little. We have kimat nothing from him in writing. And when I was in the Shiva house, they even said they don't really have ksavim. There's not really ksavim. There's thousands and thousands of tapes, but not ksavim, anything that he wrote. But he wrote as a hakdama, or as a haskama, I should say, to one of the svarim that a Talmud of his wrote over his Torah. And he wrote the following thing over here, and I think there's an insight to who he was. And perhaps also is something that I feel that it was sort of opened up my eyes as well. So he writes as follows. This is a haskama that he's giving to the Sefer Afike Mayim, and he writes as follows. He writes, Hine abia dvarei lecha mishachar nu'urai. He says, from my youth, Nasan Hashem yisbarach b'libi lahatos ozni lishmoa divrei chachamim. just from my youth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in my heart to listen. Lahatois means to bend over, to listen to Divrei Chachamim. Ubimat Achein, Shenosan Li Hashem Yisbarach, Beinei Rabbeisai, Paschuli Sedek Tzar. He says, with the little chain, the little favor that I found in the eyes of my Rabbonim, so possibly they opened for me a little crack. Vereisi kemeitzitz min acharokim. And I saw somebody who peeks through a crack. Mashuhu min or hagodol shahaya belibon. A little bit of this tremendous light that was in their hearts. Umeoz einli ba'ilami. He says, from that encounter, einli ba'ilami alechuka, I have this tremendous desire. Liois lepe, to be the mouthpiece, lemashi kibalti veivanti. So he says, I saw through a little crack, I saw from the ore that was in the hearts of my rabbeim, and for my whole life, my mission was in order to give over what I saw from my rabbeim. I want to give you a mashal. A person's walking, he's in the forest, it's dark, it's in the middle of the night. It's very scary. There's all kinds of sounds, all kinds of animals. He's lost. He doesn't know where he's going. In the distance, he sees a light. So he goes after that light, and he goes and runs towards that light, and he sees there's this building, and he peeks into the building, and he looks inside, and he sees this magnificent treasure. It's unbelievable. He's here in the middle. He's lost, and suddenly his eyes are open up, and he sees this magnificent treasure. And he goes inside, and it's magnificent. Then he sees in the room on the top, he sees there's a little window on the top, and there's a light, an even more beautiful light that's penetrating from there. And he goes over there, and he sees even a more magnificent and a more fabulous treasure. By the Hespedim and by Ramosha, many of the Maspidim use the Psukim and Shir Hashirim that it says in the Pasuk, Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza. It says, draw after me, I'll run after you. Heviani Hamelech Hadarov. The king brought me into the inner chambers, into the rooms, into the inside rooms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has outside rooms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Chadarim. He has inside rooms. And in those Chadarim, there's Chadrei Chadarim. And there's more Chadrei Chadarim. What Ramosha did for me, and I think for hundreds and maybe thousands of others, is he gave us a little glimpse of what's inside of those Chadarim. He was inside of those rooms, in the palace of the king. He saw this glistening, beautiful treasures that are there. And he was able not only to go inside and to recognize once you get inside, there's another inside. And there's another inside. You can go further and you go further and there's no limit. Because when you go into the Chachmas HaTorah, when you're going into the Chachmas HaTorah, so you're going to a place where you're connecting with something that lemais is infinite. And if it's infinite, there's no limits. There's always an inner, and there's always another one, and there's always, and there's always, and there's always, and there's always. Anybody who ever heard Ramosha would come out of a shir saying the following statement. I can speak for myself. I understood, and I didn't understand, and I understand that there's more to understand. All of those things are true all at the same time. In other words, there was something that I was able to grasp. There was something that's beyond my grasp, but I know that if I work and I get there, I can grasp that. And then there's going to be something even further on, and then there's going to be something even further on. That light, that Chachmas HaTorah, that he spent his life trying to give over, was something that was so all-encompassing, something so all-powerful, that literally, as he said himself, that everything else in the world paled in comparison to it. Literally everything else in the world paled in comparison to it. The way he would take a Maimre Chazal, and he would squeeze out of it, what you can take out of a Maimre Chazal, you would see the infinite wisdom that there is in Chazal. Everything, by definition, automatically paled in comparison. He said once a beautiful word, which I think sort of expresses this idea. He says, the Torah, we got the Torah at Har Sinai. The most monumental historical event that happened to Klal Yisrael was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And what was the name of the mountain that he gave us the Torah on? He gave us it on the Torah called Har Sinai, or the mountain called Har Chayrev. Why was it called Har Chayrev? So the Gemara says, you know why it's called Har Chayrev? It was called Har Chayrev because Mishan Yarda Chorban Lumasaylam, because the whole world was destroyed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. Very strange, you know, it's very not politically correct. You know, why call it Har Chayrev? call it Har Ahava, the mountain of love? Right? Why are you calling the Torah the mountain? You're giving Har Chorev. So Rav Meisher said a beautiful mashal that opens up our eyes a little bit to a Maimer Chazal. He said, I'll tell you the following mashal. Let's say that everybody in the world is blind. There's no such thing as sight and vision in the world. Everybody's blind. So society has to go on. So what do? They go ahead and they make some kind of, you have to communicate, you have to have transportation. So they make a means of transportation. And then let's say that one day, suddenly vision and sight comes into the world, right? So in an instant, everything that was there became obsolete because everything I had to do was because I didn't have sight. But now that I have sight, so everything that was there until then becomes obsolete. He says, that was Kabbalah Satira. The world existed on this particular level. There was a thing, was Avodah Zarah in the world. The world existed, but the moment that the light of the Torah shone on the world, said everything else by definition became Nechrav. It just became nothing. It just paled in comparison. It was nothing. That was the kayak. That was of Maimon Har Sinai. It was unbelievable, the people that came to Ramesha. We were sitting in Shir. This is a true story. I even researched. It's unbelievable. The Shir we sat in one of, she used to give 30 shiurim a week. We had a group of people, the tennis shiur, and on the side of the shiur, there was somebody, you would look at him, you would think that he was like a Nebucho. You didn't know, this person, his name was Benny Levy, okay? Benny Levy had been the number one Talmud of one of the greatest French philosophers of the century, called Jean-Paul Sartre. He was his personal secretary for 6 years, and this person, Benny Levy, was single-handedly responsible for the student revolutions in France in 1968 that almost toppled the French government. He was literally like the second or third most powerful person in France. He became a Baal Tshuva, and he sat at the feet of Rav Meisher just to get his Torah. He sat by the greatest philosophers of the generation. He came and sat by the feet of Rav Meisher just to get his Torah. There was nothing. Rav Meisher represented the Torah. Nothing comes close. Nothing compares. You know, I have a lot of the Machon Shlomo graduates of Bali Tshuva. So they're very sophisticated people, a lot of them. Go to very sophisticated schools. So on occasion, it happened that some of them were accepted into Harvard. Then they decided they wanted to go to Harvard Law School. It's hard to get into Harvard Law School. They decided they wanted to go to Yeshiva, so they asked for a deferment. And they would give him the deferment. This happened a few times. So the dean of Harvard Law School started getting interested. It happened to be the dean of Harvard Law School was a Jew. And so he started getting interested. Like, well, what's going on? Like, why are they asking? What are they asking for a deferment for? Like, well, what's going on over here? So he started making inquiries. He said, we're going to Israel. We're going to study Jews. He got very interested. He took a plane. He came to Israel. He came to Rabbi Beryl Gershenfeld, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Machon Shlomo. And he said, take me to your leaders. So Beryl Gershenfeld. So Beryl Gershenfeld brought him to two of them. He brought him to Rav Volba and to Rav Meisher. Those are the two people. And I heard from that point on, Rav Meisher, he Mamash kept a connection with Rav Meisher. I think he might have even started putting on tefillin. That was the. But we're talking about such a. He represents such a light that literally everything else paired in comparison. But what about for us? What how does that speak to us? It's a very fascinating thing. I think Rav Meisher represented to us, to the Talmidim, you know, he represented such a vast light, such, you know, it's very hard to describe. If you're coming to describe the sun, you know, it's very hard to describe. So you have two ways you can try to describe the sun. You can describe the totality of the sun, and you can say, wow, it's such a strong light that it just, everything around it becomes illuminated, and it just lights up everything. But you can't even look in the sun. If you try to look in the sun, you just get blinded. You can't see anything. What you can do is you can try to break it down. You know what I'm going to, you know, the sun is where all light comes from. The light is a spectrum, so you can break it down. It's all different colors. So maybe I'll tell you a little bit about, you know, about the beauty of blue. And then I can tell you a little bit about the beauty of red. And then I can tell you, then you can imagine the sun, when you put it all together, then you get the beautiful spectrum. The sun, it combines all those things together. Then maybe you get a little bit of an understanding of what it's like. That's what you felt like when you came out of Order of Moshe's Shiurim. It gave you a little bit of a ray of something that's much, much, much greater, much deeper. He also gave us something else. And this, I think, is important to every single one of us. And that is, he gave us what I would call the Tam. He gave us the Tam. You know, it says in the pasuk, Tamu uru'u ki toiv Hashem. Taste, and you'll see the beauty of Hashem, but you have to taste. You know, to taste, you know, you can look at something, gives you something, but to taste it, you have to work a little bit. You have to crunch it, you have to work it, you have to, right? But you get a taste. And the taste that you get is what's called Tam HaChaim. What he gave us was the Tam of life itself. There is nothing in this world that even comes close. After you taste the taste of Chaim, that everything else in the world has a taste of artificial, fake plastic. That's what the rest of the world tastes like. When you have it, that's why Balei Tshuva, they would come to, they had successful lives. They would get one little taste, and then automatically they would realize that everything else is just plastic, it's just fake, there's nothing there. This is the Tam HaChaim. Tamu Ru'u Ki Toiv Hashem. Ramesha was a person who was you know how it is when you're tasting something that's delicious that you like, you're enjoying it. When you saw Ramesha learning, he was enjoying himself. When he was figuring out something, he would sit there with his glasses. I don't know our shear, I don't know if your shear, and he would knock his glass. He would just be enjoying himself. He'd be you know what it was like? You know what it was like? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a great wine connoisseur, right? And he wants to take a little taste of wine. And he takes it and he sort of swishes it around his mouth. And he wants to get every single little taste that you can possibly get out of the wine. And he's swishing it around and his eyes are rolling. And then he writes this whole thing about the wine that no one understands a word he's talking about. Right? You know, this wine was, you know, fruity with the, I don't know how they describe it. That was Ramesha taking a different Maimer Chazal and just enjoying it and taking out all the taimim, just taking out all the flavors, just taking out all the depth, and just taking it out and just enjoying it. It was you knew that you were connected. You can't, in other words, if you learn Torah and it's like, you know, I'm forced to do this, this is something that was a pleasure. Every shir that you went to Ramesha was an adventure. You were on an adventure. You know, where are we going to go now? Which heights are we going to go to now? What are we going to do now? What are we going to uncover now? That was what you felt like. It was an uplifting, exhilarating experience. Emes is just to be in his Dalet Amos. Literally, I had this chus for many years to pick him up from his house. Literally, is a 5-minute, 4-minute ride. I would prepare for it like the whole week, what I could ask him, because any question I would ask him would answer me like in 2.5 seconds. So I had to have a few questions ready to ask him, take him from his house to the shir. And then on occasion, my schus was to be the backup mikveh driver after the shir. So on occasion, I would take him to the mikveh after the shir. But just to be in his presence was literally an uplifting experience. Literally, I think if we, again, I cannot in any way define for you who Ramesha is. Ramesha is beyond anything I can tell you who he is. I can just tell you what I got from him, and you know, my perception is, you know, the pasuk says, you know, Yaakov Avinu has a dream. He sees a sula mutzav arta v'roisha magia shamayma. There is a ladder that's on the ground. Ramesha was on the ground. He lived in this world. He enjoyed this world, but not enjoyed this world the way you and I enjoy this world. He enjoyed this world because he saw the beauty of this world. He saw the pnimius of this world. Ramesha was a person that he was very much here. He had a quick wit. He had an unbelievable sense of humor. But he was somebody that only thing that spoke to him was something that had depth. Superficiality to him was like the worst thing in the world. The worst thing, the worst aveira that you could possibly do is be superficial. You have to have a certain sense of depth. That's what he taught all of his talmidim. I remember once, if I'm permitted to say a joke, he said it over. But shame, Reb Leib Steinman. Someone came to him and said that they told Reb Leib Steinman. He says, you know, the Dairis are so wonderful. You know, it used to be that a Yid came to a shtut and he would ask, where's the hotel? Where can I sleep overnight? Where can I stay? He says, now a person comes, the first thing that he asks is, where's the Daf Yomi Shir? You know, So Reb Leib Steinman said, yeah, it used to be that people slept in a hotel. Now they sleep in a Daf Yomi Shir. this I heard from Ramesha. But literally, just to be in his Dalet Amos was an exhilarating, literally, an uplifting experience. there's a few. I'll go for another few minutes. There's a few other aspects that I think are extremely, extremely important about Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe had many, many difficult nisyonos in his life. Extremely difficult nisyonos in his life. And every single one of them, he used that as an opportunity. First of all, he never really, I hate to say the words, but he never found his makom as a Rosh Yeshiva. There was different yeshivas he's Rosh Yeshiva of. For whatever reason, they didn't work out. He was asked to be Rosh Yeshiva in some of the major yeshivas, Hebron Yeshiva, Neri Yisrael Balt, other yeshivas, he turned it down. But you see, it didn't work out. But he had major. When I first heard Reb Moshe, is when his daughter was very, very sick. He had a 16-year-old daughter who got very sick with Yener Machala, and that was a tkufa that Reb Moshe was giving shiurim in Emuna. Reb Moshe was davening his mincha shmona esrei on a regular day was 45 minutes long. One of his talmidim, and I saw myself. One of his talmidim told me that he told him with the following lashon. He says, "Ichal in mitten a melchama mit the malach hamavis." He says, "I am holding in the middle of a battle with the malach hamavis." Unfortunately, he lost that battle. His daughter Nebach went through a difficult time. I think she first had her leg amputated, and then afterwards, she ended up passing away. And even at the levaya, the children spoke, and he said that the family was broken. The family was broken. She was 16, 17-year-old girl. The family was broken, but Reb Moshe is the one who put the pieces together. There's a legendary, legendary maisa that they tell over just as they were about to bury his daughter. Just as they were about to bury his daughter. And Reb Moshe was standing by the open grave, and he told them to wait a minute. And he said the following. He said, it says in Chazal, Shleisha Shutfen Ba'adam. There are three partners when it comes to a person. His father, his mother, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So let's open up Hilchas Shutfis. Let's open up a Chayshim Mishpat, Hilchas Shutfis. And it says that a Shutif, one Shutif, is not allowed to do anything unless he has the Haskam of all the other Shutfim. Unless he has the agreement to the other Shutfim. Ich bin ish maskim. I'm not maskim, said Reb Moshe. But then Reb Moshe said, but there's another halach in Hilchas Shutfim. And the other halach in Hilchas Shutfim is that if the Shutif is doing something that's l'toivas ha-shutfis, he's doing something that's for the benefit of the Shutfis, so then he doesn't have to ask for shus. And he says, mochziklan, that what the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for our good. Shluft gesund, my kind. And then he buried his daughter. In the height, in there, he pulled out a muna, such a muna that's unfathomable. But that he used, and they say that Taka, after his daughter passed away, that Moshe just started growing and growing and growing. He used every single difficulty as something to push forward, to move forward, to grow even more, to grow even more, and to grow even more. Reb Moshe was unbelievably. His son also mentioned it at the levaya, but I saw it myself. His anivus was he would not let you if you had him as a kibbutz for a simcha. He would not let you call out his name. He would just went up and be misara kedushin because he wanted to call out Harava Gain, so and so and so forth. And if he walked into a chasman, they started singing Yom Ha'Mayim Deimel. He would tell them immediately to stop, or he would walk out. I saw that several times. He would just walk out, and they have to stop, and then he'd come back in. He ran away from COVID, and he ran away from COVID for one reason. His whole persona radiated COVID. But as the son said at the lie, radiated COVID Shemayim. That's what it radiated. You saw from just being in his presence, you saw Kvod Shemayim. And I just want to end. There's a lot more that we can talk about, but I just want to end that. You know, the things that we can take from the power that there is in Divrei Chazal, the taimim that there are, it's so delicious, it's so beautiful. You just have to taste it. Tamu ruki tayv Hashem. If you just taste it, there is no other tam in the world that comes even close. So you have a choice. You have a choice. All of us have a choice. You want to live a life where you're eating plastic, something looks nice on the outside, and when you have a taste in it, it has nothing inside. Or you want to live a life that's mali taimim, it's mali pnim, mali pnimius. That's what I think inspired my life, to just recognize what there is in Divrei Chazal, just to live a more mechubadik. You know, he used to say that in Slobodka, they used to say that, you know, you don't not do an Aveira because it's Aser, you don't do an Aveira because it's beneath you, you're above that. But I think Ramesh, we could add another, you don't do an Aveira because why do you want to eat plastic? What do you want to eat plastic for? It doesn't taste good, right? Once you appreciate the time of fine wine, you know, it's like going into beautiful chasuna and you're saying, and they have all the delicious the choices of meat, and you say, I want to get the kids' menu. You know what I'm saying? Well, what are you going to go for the kids' menu for? It has no time, right? Take something that has a time. And the one thing I want to end with is that every single thing that Ramesha did, he did it in such a way that was his whole life. You were around him, there was a certain sense of menucha, a certain sense of tranquility, a certain sense of peace, even though there was this tremendous roimimus, like a majesty, a nobility, but at the same time, and the reason was very simple, because the Torah wasn't something that didn't fit into his personality. The Torah was something that brought out his personality. The Torah and his personality were together, were the same. And it was an amazing thing, because everything that he represented, all the lessons that we hear about Slobodka, all the lessons that we hear about Kelm, but it was Ramayshadik, with Ramayshah's little touch. Ramayshah's little touch. That's what he represented. Everything fit exactly with who he was. It wasn't that he had to take something and put something round into something that was square. The Torah fit, and each one of us too, the Torah fits with us. We have to let the Torah bring out who we are, bring out our personality. I think that's what Ramayshah represented. And Bezras Hashem, the more that we take some of the lessons, some of the messages that I got, and that hopefully that myself and the other Talmidim can convey to those of you that weren't Zaycha, so the more that Ramesha lives with us, and Bezras Hashem should be a schus for us, and should be a romimus, should be a romimus for all of us, and we should be inspired that in our Avodas Hashem from what Ramesha taught us. Thank you.